Following podcast contains profanity and is unsuitable for a child-friendly or work environment.
Would you like to know more? Would you like to know more?
Welcome to War Master Podcast, episode 158 with Paul and Barry.
Hello, listeners.
Hello, everybody.
How are you doing? How are we doing?
All fantastic. All fantastic. Mm-hmm. We've got a couple of things to talk about today and a load of rubbish, Paul.
Yeah, we do. Yeah. But the rubbish is left over from last episode that I wanted to mention.
So you might even get Paul not painting for a while. That's how much stuff we've got to go through.
Yeah, cool.
Only a little bit from me, I think. Lots from Paul.
Yep.
I'm on this stuff, which is Aldi special.
I'm on this stuff, Shipyard Pale Ale.
Nice, that's from Suffolk. American isn't
it? It's all right.
Suffolk.
I think so. Yeah, let's say it is.
This is from Belgium, supposedly.
Yep.
I mean, it's heavy duty. It's nearly 5 units in this. 5 alcoholic units. So 2.5 pints in it or something.
Yeah, it's good.
Get a nice buzz on. So, We're in an interesting place in the UK, so we're kind of only a couple of more days from getting some more freedom back.
Yeah, exactly. Christ. Yeah.
Seeing that it's been since November since I've had any.
As of Monday, we can meet in each other's garden
and freeze our tits off. Which is
nice. It's going to be quite warm. But so theoretically, I could play you a game in the garden, I suppose, Barry.
If I can, well, it depends. Do you consider an open garage a garden? I don't know.
A
garage with all the doors and windows open? It's probably not. But I could put a gazebo up. Who knows?
I don't know. Whatever the but you could. Yeah, like as
in, I will be. Yeah. I've invested in some more camera stuff, so I will be recording at some point. But it's all weather dependent because the UK has shit weather.
Yes.
Which is why nobody chooses to holiday here regularly.
It sounds like we're going to have another year of staycation, because we're doing quite well in a vaccine program, over 50%, but Europe's not. So I don't know. Are you allowed to go there?
Don't know.
Mm-hmm. Not that I planned on it, but I don't know if you're going to be able to.
Sure, as long as it works.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the thing, isn't it? I mean, without getting too grim, I mean, if it turns out the vaccine doesn't work, then there's nothing left, is there?
Barry, there's no question. Of course they work.
Well, Of course they do. Just keep drinking.
Exactly, that's your vaccine.
Well, get on with it, fella. You've got a million things to talk about.
So, a couple of fun. So, starting off,
the one thing I do, we are going to talk about War Master Westeros. Yeah, that is the main topic.
Yeah, War Master Westeros.
It's made by Jim Beach. Mm-hmm. I deliberately haven't looked at it at all in order to share the viewers' delight and
unboxing. Well, I mean, obviously, and I'll be speaking about it because I have read the thing, obviously, and my current project is over there, a War Master Lannister army.
Because, I mean, in the very small amount I've talked about it with Paul, deliberately kept it. I mean, the one thing I was saying is, dragons in this must be ridiculous. If there are rules for dragons, I mean, holy moly.
Yeah, we'll talk about it.
Holy moly.
Yeah. It's they're pretty good. Yeah.
Pretty good. I mean, when you talk about dragons in War Master, in people's heads, this is what dragons should be, I guess.
Yeah, exactly.
Just win the game. I've got a dragon. You don't have a dragon.
I've got a dragon. What you got?
Yeah, they're all going to die.
Yeah.
Little men.
Okay, so bit of preamble. Also, are we going over the rules, the War Master Committee? That's a separate episode. Yeah.
That's a separate episode.
Pen that.
Which you may or may not be involved in, depending on how interested you are in it and how much. Are you going to be interested in doing that one?
Yes, of course. Yeah.
Without painting?
Yes, yeah.
Well, there we go. You heard it here, listeners.
Yeah, right. Okay, so just my funny stories. So this one just made me laugh. I paid. Barry does his cuts, his bases. as part of his Blackgate miniatures, and I needed some bases. So I bought some bases from Barry. you know, like, as in, I gave Barry a PayPal payment for £3, and it, and the tag, the description, it said
£3. That's mates' rates.
All right. So maybe it wasn't for all the bases, but like, I paid Barry an undisclosed amount of bases, and for £3, and it said for the bases. Right, PayPal then holds that transaction and asks me, what does for the bases mean? And I'm like, and I looked at it, an Urban Dictionary, it's for basically everything but sex. So it's like, you know, first base, second base, third base.
I think fourth base is sex.
Okay, basically PayPal was saying, are you paying this Barry Pittman for sex?
£3
because £3 for sex.
He's a top class dude. He is,
because I use the words for the bases. So I wrote PayPal a message saying, actually, for the bases means literally what it sounds like, for some little miniature bases for a game called War Master, and that's a 10 mil scale fantasy game. Blah 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 blah. It's like,
here are the bases.
Here are the bases. Yeah, like, it's definitely nothing else. And it was just funny, because it was just like that £3 was then held for several weeks while PayPal investigated that.
So I didn't even get my £3.
Oh, maybe you will when you stop paying, offering sex.
I guess what that goes to show is that
Nick Brother's watching you.
Nothing you do online goes unnoticed.
And honestly, I was just like, well, what's wrong with that? And it's, yeah, you know, and I also was like, if it is paying for sexual favors, that's really cheap. Mm. Barry, you got to up your charge.
You can only get what you're worth.
Yeah, exactly. It's like supply and demand. £3. Yeah, like, do you even do a reach around with that? Yeah, like,
so, supply and demand.
So that amused me. Another different thing is, like, I've noticed that because I sell stuff on eBay, eBay's gotten rid of PayPal.
Well, not for me. I don't know what you're talking. Maybe you're too big a punter now. I'm still using PayPal.
Oh, are you?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Maybe you've been banned.
No. So I had this like notification from eBay saying, this is how we're changing eBay. And they essentially, they dropped PayPal. They've got a different paying system, but it's all run through eBay. So before, where you would sell something and you'd get the money through PayPal on PayPal. And so PayPal would take some fees, etc. That's all gone. Now you just get paid. You get paid into eBay directly. And eBay releases your funds periodically.
But what? How much was the charge? Is it still 3% or whatever?
No, it's a little less. It's actually, so as a seller, it's a better deal.
But like, I haven't seen this. So how do I still pay as a punter? We're using PayPal, or do I have to set up a new thing?
I don't know, but maybe eBay. I don't know. Doesn't they update for everybody at once? I don't know. But well, it's just like,
maybe you're such a big seller now that you're on special rates. Because why bother with all the Timport, I only sell 2 items a year jobs? Just go for your big whales who do like 1,000 sales a year.
Maybe. Just a little bit of promotion of another product is, I've got two of these, or three of these actually. Four of these, actually. Right. So,
hang on a minute, four what?
So, I've found recently the Crown of Command podcast. And I've really enjoyed listening to episodes about Space Marine, about Epic Space Marine,
mm-hmm.
because it's Smiling John Webb is like the invited host of that podcast. And he talks about Space Marine, his love of space, of second edition, mm-hmm. you know, Epic, which is called Space Marine. And I just really enjoyed it. It's like the two of them, you know, talk through the supplements of Space Marine and et cetera, and they, and I just generally, it's a free podcast. I really enjoyed listening to it because it had a topic I'm quite interested in as well. And also I find that I quite like the host, as in, obviously we know, me and Barry know one of the hosts, and he's renowned for not smiling to us, you know, in for us, but you can tell he's enjoying himself in this one. It's like, he's a funny character. So yeah, there you go. But I enjoyed that. Have you seen this live action Warhammer Fantasy Battle like fan movie?
No, sir.
So yeah, there's going.
I mean, I'm sure you've prepared a link so I can show.
No,
it.
I haven't, of course. But it's like it's like this Scottish production company is doing a live action Warhammer Fantasy like film. And it was like kickstarted, you know, like as in fees fund us to do this film. And they had this like the sales pitch video was really good.
Fantasy.
Warhammer Fantasy Battle.
Warhammer Fantasy. So GW will be all over it, obviously.
Well, yeah, GW is supporting them. Like, well,
they're not going to rebrand it AOS then, because they
No. But obviously it's like, well, how can they get good enough like costumes and things? And it, but obviously they've set it as a marauder, Chaos Marauder raid on a Bretonian village, right. So everybody looks like a human, which is, you know, but it was cool. It was just like, it was really nicely done in terms of the sales pitch video was really good, actually. It's like, and if you ever wanted a live action Warhammer Fantasy film,
has it come out yet?
No. It's like they needed a lot of money to start filming.
Right.
Yeah. But they did get it. I did a guest narration on a YouTube video.
Yeah, Ian's one.
Ian's one. I helped narrate the Skaven episode, which is pretty cool. Yeah, it was really easy to do, actually. I just recorded it at home, sent him on my phone, and sent him the file, and that was it. That's all that was needed. Nice. So yeah, it was cool. And it's like, I recommend what's his channel called? Is it just his name?
I think it's Ian Standing or something. Ian Standing, yeah. That might be a middle initial.
Yeah,
because I
asked if I could be on the Skaven one, and but obviously I couldn't recommend him like army list builds and things like that, because I ain't got a clue. But yeah, I did the narration. I really enjoyed that. And
I think he's racing through them. I think he might be up to. He's definitely in double figures already.
Yeah. He's doing loads. He does them well as well. It's like they, you know, consistently good. Yeah, you know, people love them. The last thing I just wanted to mention is this a new range of models for Chaos Dwarves called Magma Dwarves. So Barry, can you share the picture of them?
Yeah.
Yes, it is. There it is. So this is, if you scroll to the top, Barry, it says the name. The Ankalilo miniatures, this is Gumroad, isn't it? Yeah. And this guy has done the complete range of Chaos Dwarf models, and I think they look really good, actually. And he started on his second range, which looks like Skaven. He's got every unit entry in the Chaos Dwarves there. And he's like, he was getting like supported a lot on Facebook. Like, people are like, oh, can you do this next? Do you do that next? And there's some really lovely stuff in there. Like, these are models, I think. Barry, do you buy the files and then print them at home? Is this what it, you know?
Yeah, it looks like, I mean, I'm new to it because I'm not spending a lot of time on Facebook.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which means I'm quite behind the curve in a lot of respects, because everything happens on Facebook now.
Yeah, well, it does. Yeah, and so I was just, that's why I'm just bringing the attention. It's like, this isn't a range of models that was available anywhere else in a one-stop shop in every option. And yeah, and these are Chaos Dwarves with the classic big hats.
Old hats.
But to me, the pick of the models, if you click on the Orc Slaves, there's a fantastic one in there.
You do realize that high elves now have bigger hats than this. That these yesterday's news. The high elves now have hats.
But click on the on the slaves, the slave orcs. So yeah, check it out.
The bucket heads.
Yeah. So like in the top right, there's an orc with a bucket on his head.
There's loads of them. If you've played a game called Divinity 2. Or Divinity, it's like a cooperative role-playing game. You can like turn-based. You can play four people in it. Anyway, one of the pieces of armor you can pick up early in the game is a bucket, and you literally put it on your head, and it counts as armor. I'm sure that's a kind of Divinity 2 vibe.
Yeah. So, Barry, if you want to print me a Chaos Dwarf army, that'd be lovely.
Well, yes, by purchasing these files, so these are not for selling on eBay, you naughty scamps.
I'm not doing that.
No, not you. I'm just saying that, as predicted, I said that it doesn't matter if you say, oh, well, you need a merchant account. How are you going to police bastards selling them on eBay?
Well, you can't, can you? Because it could just, you know, they could have a merchant account and then,
how do you know if he's got a merchant account? How do you know if he's not got a merchant? How do you know if it's just his and he's printed them and he doesn't want them anymore? How do you know?
Yeah, no, it's impossible.
Forget about it.
Forget about it.
One thing I will say, and I need to do some more videos on the old 3D printing. Mm-hmm. The biggest hassle with 3D printing is cleaning off supports.
Oh yeah. Man.
Once you've got the files running and your machine running and you know what you're doing, the only thing that takes time is cleaning off supports.
Yeah. So I got recently some models from Excellent Miniatures as like as a bonus for like, you know, doing their army lists, etc. And they came with all the support still on. Yeah, I hear you, brother. It took me ages.
You hear me? I printed you an epic army. It was 15 plates, 15 entire plates of miniatures that I had to clean supports off of before curing.
Yeah, it's good. It's good.
And the time involved in curing, and you've got to do it before you cure, because trying to get them off afterwards,
you get little bits off
if you're delicate and you try not to break anything.
Yeah, no, this is what I found. So I had to clear these supports off, well, long after they've cured. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's
not easy. So,
and 3D printing, as brilliant as it is, the supports are an issue.
Yeah.
And clearing them off is an issue. So if you're selling stuff, at least be nice about it. I'm not talking about extra miniatures, because you're giving them to you. You don't even deserve anything. But if you're trying to sell them on eBay, you're looking at them and say, they're full of supports, mate. Yeah. I'm going to spend my life trying to clean these off, and I'm going to break them trying to get them off.
Yeah.
So
don't
do that. At least be nice and clear the supports off, you monsters. Right, so good work here. I like the fact there's some free stuff to print. That's always a nice in.
You can print casualty
markers. I don't know.
We should print some off and see what you think.
I don't really use casualty markers. I don't really understand the purpose of them in the game.
Wound markers.
Well, listen, man, when you've got a combat and you've got like 9 and 5 and 7, you're not going to have 7 of these, are you?
But 3 guys means it counts as 3.
What 3 guys? Well,
on the picture you've got up, you've got 3 dead dwarves. That means it's 3 wounds.
Yeah. So I understand this. So it's like you've got an abacus, and this is worth 3s, and this is worth 1s, or whatever.
Yeah.
But
when
you're doing combat res, you need dice, because the numbers get big quite quickly. If you've got like 4 or 5 or 6 units aside fighting in a combat,
you could have a method of how you lay them out. So like, on one row is the 10s. And the second row is the units.
These things are useful in carrying wounds into future rounds.
So
if you're carrying our wound, you're carrying 3 wounds. Well, you lose a stand most of the time with 3 wounds. But But it's nice. You can print them off. Very nice. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Very nice. Mm-hmm. Maybe I'll print some of these off. Maybe I'll approach them and can have a look at them. Chaos Dwarfs really aren't my bag. But what amazing thing is they've beaten Dancing Yak to mark.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's lots of that 10 grand that Dancing Yak had that people...
The rate that this guy was doing them was fantastic. It's in terms of like, so he'd like put out a unit and people were like, oh, I really love it, do the next thing. And he's like, he sounded like he was getting tired out getting it done, but he could turn them out quite quickly. Yeah.
He's doing a good job. Do a good job. Mm-hmm. I'm going to stop flipping up and down. It looked rubbish. So well done then. And what's next, Paulus?
That's it. Let's do the topic.
No, I've got a couple of things to share. I ain't got much.
Right. Go on.
I ain't got much. Because we ain't been doing much. Mm-hmm. I started painting. I got bored of painting. It doesn't take me too long to get bored of painting. Mm-hmm. I'd much rather make stuff and then exchange that in barter for other people to paint. And
give it to me to paint.
Yeah. And then, pay you in stuff by way of barter. Because that's... I hate painting. I've tried. I hate it.
All right. Fair enough. Go on.
Anyway. So, a couple of things that I've been watching to entertain the time. I've been watching some old films. We're not going to talk about them because everybody has seen them. But stuff to get me really depressed, like Deer Hunter and stuff, like real horrid stuff. But we moved on. And so what have we been watching? Let's have this one here, screen 2. This one here. Have you seen it?
Once Upon a Time in Iraq? No.
It's not a film. It's a 5-episode documentary.
No, I haven't seen it. No.
Well, you liked your Vietnam documentaries.
Yeah,
this is a very, very well done documentary. Talks about what happened, why we went in, what we found.
Yeah, right.
The pig's ear we've made of it.
Sounds
and then
great.
We run away.
Sounds great.
But, I mean, if you've got 5 hours, you won't see a better documentary.
Okay, cool.
Theories.
Cool. Is it like similar to like Kevin Burns' documentaries? Like the seminal series of documentaries. Yeah.
On who? On which?
Well, on like the Vietnam War.
Yeah, Vietnam War. Yeah. I don't think it's as grim as the Vietnam War, because some of the footage in that is a bit mad, isn't it? I don't think they go as gung-ho. There's not much military stuff in here.
Okay.
It's more about the view from civilians. But also they have some soldiers in there.
Yeah.
And the views from the soldiers. It's available on BBC iPlayer, which is a blessing in the UK, because as long as you've got a license fee, you can watch it for free.
Yeah.
But apparently they've closed down a lot of the ways to view it abroad now and to listen to things abroad. So that may be a bit annoying for people around the world, but really good film. Fantastic. Or really good documentary series. So if you've got 5 hours, watch it. Watch it. I do find it very sad what happened to Saddam Hussein. I've got no love for the man.
Sad?
Well, what happened to him? Well, he just got home.
He was a dictator.
If you listen to the Iraqi people, lots of them were much happier under his regime.
Well, I mean, that's the problem. He kept it under some control, didn't he?
Well, he kept it under control. Yeah. You know what I mean? Apart from, it's like North Korea, I guess, to a degree. As long as you're happy kowtowing and not kind of getting out of line.
I hear what you're saying. So sometimes, like, places need a dictator to run it. Yeah, because it can't be run in another way. Yeah.
Well, if you look at...
I've heard this before, yeah.
If you look at our democracy, sham of a democracy that we have...
I'd rather not, but go on.
When you look at it, it's like there's, maybe 100 places in the UK whose vote have ever meant anything. 100 constituencies out of 700 that have ever meant anything.
Okay, yep.
Because most of them don't move. So there's only the 100 in the middle that flip backwards and forwards. And we're in a position now where effectively you might never have a change of government ever.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah.
It might never change again. In my entire life. But that's because we've built a system that it is democratic, but is it fair? Do people like the Greens get a first stint? Do the Lib Dems get a first stint? No.
Who cares if they do?
But that's the problem. Nobody cares. It's like you had. I don't support UKIP.
The Greens.
There was a point where UKIP got 10 million votes. 10 million votes and no seats.
Yeah.
So it was like, oh my god.
Have you seen this? Alex Salmond's created a new political party.
They generally don't last very long.
No. But it's like literally. It's like so. You've got the Scottish National Party. And then you've got the Scottish Independence Party.
They're called ALBA, which basically is Scotland.
It's like they're more pro-Scottish than the Scottish National Party.
But again, so this is another example of a different type of democracy. So what Alex Salmond is planning to use to his advantage is the fact that once you've got your first seat, they have like this, a long list. So you don't vote for an MP, you vote for a party.
Mm.
And once you get the first seat in that area, it's much more difficult to get the second seat, and then much more difficult to get the third seat, and much, much more difficult to get the fourth seat.
Yep.
So what he's trying to do is make a play for like the fourth seat or the fifth seat in each area.
Yep.
Because it's much easier for his new party to win one of those seats.
Yeah, okay.
Which is why they've got a bit more democracy. They've got a bit more Lib Dem, a bit more Conservative, a bit more Labour up in Scotland.
There's
a bit more of a spread than in England. There's nothing. It's a wasteland. There's one green down in Brighton, and that's it. Forget about it.
Forget it. Yep.
So, I don't think it'll last very long. I mean, he's asking for people to apply to be MPs, and that's never a good sign, because how are you going to vet them? The bloody election's in about 4 weeks.
Well,
you're going to have total nutcases. Anyway, you can't say nutcases. Right, so the other thing. Right, this one, this is a bit from left field. Sometimes on Netflix, I don't know if you have Netflix, you just kind of let it take you down the rabbit hole.
Yeah, go on.
Right, so I came across a show, only 12 episodes, about 50 minutes each. And I did it in, it wasn't long, 2 days tops.
Yep.
It's called Kingdom. And it's set in North Korea.
Oh, okay.
And there's nothing incredibly outrageously original about it. It's like a World War Z kind of zombie apocalypse kind of film.
Right.
But set in kind of feudal Korea. And the kind of costumes are amazing. And the kind of class system and all the, you know, the royal, the prince regent and all this
Is there actually zombies in this?
Oh, absolutely. It's like a zombie apocalypse kind of movie.
Okay. Right. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, it's fantastic. It's just like, I mean, it's got subtitles, which is a bonus to me. I can't handle dub stuff.
So why are zombies in this? Like, what's creating the zombies? A plague?
I don't want to spoil. No. It's more. So okay. I won't give too much away, but it tells you very early on that the king dies.
Yeah.
And his new wife is pregnant, but she hasn't given birth. And if she hasn't given birth and the king's dead, then the prince regent will become king.
Ooh.
But for whatever reason, I don't know the laws in Korea, if the prince regent, if the king lasts long enough for her to give birth, then her son is now the heir.
Well, there's probably some motivations there for some murders.
So what they decide to do, if the king's dead, he dies of smallpox or something. Yep. So they resurrect him with some like Chinese herbal medicine, effectively. Oops.
Okay.
But this resurrection, they know is going to make him into a zombie.
Right.
But he's alive, but he's like a flesh-eating zombie.
Right. So it kind of goes wrong.
But and they have to keep feeding him. But obviously that doesn't matter. He's like God Emperor, isn't he? Just feed him a virgin every night. It doesn't matter. There's plenty more of them.
Yeah, yeah.
And then it goes wrong because somebody who gets bitten goes home to be buried. And because in these kind of feudal setups, the way to keep people kind of in place is to keep them starving. Because if you're starving, you've not got time to worry about anything. Yeah, all you can worry about is eating.
Yeah,
I ain't got time to overthrow nothing, mate. I've got to find some food.
Yeah, okay, yep.
So...
That makes sense. That makes sense. It's a bit of sensible policies for a happier Britain.
Austerity keeps people honest because you got to worry about eating. So so somebody decides to cook this dead person up rather than bury them.
Oh, don't do that. Don't do that.
Now they're all zombies and they can spread the zombiness now with the bite. It's pretty good fun. It's good fun. It's not too serious, but and they're making a new, a third season. Madness.
Have you ever seen a film called? Sorry, a drama series called The Terror.
Is that the BBC one?
Yeah. That's really good. That's really good.
I think that's somebody famous has directed that. It's on my list of things to watch.
The Terror. Oh, is it there? Oh no, that's something else. So The Terror. It's on. BBC iPlayer at the moment. Is it there? Don't worry about it.
Yeah, but I want to know who the thing is now because I know the. I'll find it. I know the. It's a famous director and I can't remember who it is. It's somebody like really famous, like Ridley Scott level famous.
Yeah, and it's set in 1850s, and they're trying to find the North. Two Navy ships are trying to find the Northwest Passage, and it's like it's based on history, but then it imagines what actually these ships were never seen again. And it's like, what actually happened to these ships? It's cool. It's like,
oh, it is Ridley Scott. I was right.
Yeah, it's really good because it's like how the discipline holds up until it doesn't hold up anymore. You know how things go wrong. Yeah, it's great. It's like,
so does he direct them all or is he just producer? Because it says Ridley Scott.
I think he just produces them then. Mm. Yeah.
Oh well, can't have everything.
No.
Mm-hmm. I mean, he is good, Ridley Scott, isn't he?
I mean, that TV series is a couple of years old, but it's only recently made it to iPlayer.
Good. Well, I'll put it on my list.
It's cool. It's like it's a time of history where after the Waterloo, there was 100 years of peace, essentially, in mainland Europe. So this navy's like, and it's set, obviously, 30 years after Waterloo. So it's quite an interesting time to be in an armed service at the time because it's like they're not fighting a major war ever. Yeah.
Hey, that's an interesting thing. They don't have many firearms.
That's it there. It's frozen isolated, yeah.
So they don't have many firearms in this whatever the kingdom or whatever I was watching. And it's meant to be like late 19th century, I think. Mm-hmm. But the ones they do have, they use a piece of kind of like smouldering rope instead of a flint.
Yeah, so as a flint. Yeah, yeah. The acubuses.
Yeah, and you think like, that doesn't look very safe, fella.
No, it wasn't. And they took ages. It wasn't. And they took ages to load. Like, it's just like, yo.
So you see him and he gets, oh shit, I need to get my gun. He's got to go find somewhere to light this.
Light this for me. Yeah.
And he straps it onto his gun and going, oh my God, was flint not around? Did not have flint?
No. Like flintlock muskets, they came later. Yeah.
Well, what era is this then?
Well, I don't know, but like, guns developed, like, and the flint was a development in warfare.
Yeah, but I mean, that in the early 18, tens or whatever, we were using flintlock muskets.
Well, I'm not sure, but these things are like, they're not mass produced, are they? They're handmade, like individual items. They don't come out of a factory, you know.
I think ours did, didn't they?
Well, yeah, but it's like that's the start. Is in, you know, were they using? I imagine they weren't using factories in you know, North Korea.
Yeah. All right. But the costumes were just unbelievable. I thought Chinese military costumes were crazy. But the, if you watch it, the like the police, they have the most outrageous hats. I want one of those hats. They have like a massive hat with two feathers, one on each side, like giant feathers.
Fucking right.
Just and like tremendous colours, like some of them in black, but some of them are like bright purple. They're like, whoa.
Whoa. Yeah. It's like, here I am. Like,
I'm a badass.
You're nicked. Like,
brilliant. We should have more than that. Because I mean, the Redcoats, I mean, they've not got a great name historically, have they? Because they were guilty of many atrocities.
Do you know why they were red?
So you couldn't see they were bleeding, sir, I guess.
But no, but you don't know the real reason why they're red.
It's because we had a lot of red dye. I don't know.
It was cheap. Like, yeah, we had red dye and that was cheap. And the quality of the cloth got better in the ranks. So the officers had like a scarlet colour, while the ranks used like a much darker red because it was cheap.
Yeah, I've been watching Zulu this week. I've been watching all kinds of stuff just to fill the evenings because you run out of stuff and then you have to go back to old stuff. So Zulu,
classic. What a
classic.
Classic.
Michael Caine, he starts off, but by the end of it, you love him. Yeah, at the beginning, you can't stand him. By the end, it's like...
Yeah, it's like he changes his mind pretty quick, doesn't he? Yeah.
He changes your mind as the viewer. It's a well-written film.
Right, do the main topic?
If you want. So I promise, Scout's Honour. Mm-hmm. That's right, isn't it? Left hand. I have not looked at this.
Cool. So.
But so, Jim did it, so it's not going to be a load of rubbish, is it?
Oh,
Jim,
no,
Jim's not a Muppet.
No. It's a bit of quality work.
Let's F11 that. Oh, let's F11 that. There we go. Oh, we're in.
So this is Warmaster Westeros. It's V3. There is a V4, but literally the V4 just colours out, just makes it all one colour. So it's like, yeah, it's just an aesthetic change.
So why would I play Warmaster Westeros?
So if you like Warmaster...
I do.
You're a big fan of Game of Thrones.
I was until about season 6.5.
Hear me out. This is set in the Battle of the War of the Five Kings.
So pre the start.
No. So basically series 2.
War of the Five Kings. Oh right. There were only two kings really fighting, weren't there?
No, there was five. In the books, there was the War of the Five Kings. So five people declared they were king, and they all went to war each other. And this is a game system set in that time.
I'm not sure I understand this Five Kings. Who were the Five Kings then?
Greyjoy. He said he was
Greyjoy?
King.
What? King of what? King of fish?
He said he was king.
King of the fish?
He said he was king of the Greyjoys. There's obviously...
King of the fish, man.
There was Joffrey Baratheon, Jon Snow. He said he was king of the north.
King of the north.
They all declared as kings.
Renly
declared himself as king. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right. Fair dinkum.
And that's when it's set. And it's basically it's Warmaster with Game of Thrones overtones onto it.
So this is before Daenerys has got a proper dragon. She's got little baby dragons. Yeah.
So the dragons in this aren't as good as they're going to get.
Well, they don't really do anything. They just need feeding at this stage. But,
you see the rules. Right. Spin on.
Right. Okay.
So you can see that there's a lot of factions are represented. You know, in fact, with a review of this, would you rather start? No, you wouldn't want to start with the designers, though, isn't it? We'll go through it ourselves. Yeah. So you've got quite a few factions in there, like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 factions. And there are sub factions in there. Like I'll talk extensively about the Lannister, which is Westerlands and the Reach. There's different ways to play. As in there, there's you can theme them to Lannister or Tarly, for example. So there's sub factions.
Tarly. Mm-hmm. Tarly. Sam Tarly.
Sam Tarly, yeah. But no, he wasn't a fighter. Spin on.
They're probably the only ones I wouldn't be interested in. Let's go. Right. Okay. Oh, rules.
So games are played using War Master Ancients and War Master Medieval rules, with the following exceptions. Moving after fail command, that's in there. So if you fail an order, you get a half base thing on a brigade. Characters. Now this is, so basically you say, why should I play this? It focuses heavily on named characters. So characters, no attributes, all unnamed nobles must roll against the start of the table. And there's a list of six sub things that unnamed noble has a problem. So if you rolled a three, they're reliable, they're no change. But if you're a one, they're actually usurper and their command range reduces to 20 centimeters. That's not an option. You have to roll on that table at the start of every game to see what their trait is.
They're not all negatives. That headstrong looks pretty good.
Yeah. So there's three positives, one nothing, and two negatives.
Nice.
Yeah, a commander in combat. So characters may leave a unit that's still in combat, but if they do, they lose 1 point from their command value for the rest of the game.
Wow.
The rule supersedes paragraph four of War Master Ancients, commanders in combat.
So hang on a minute. When do they leave combat?
So you put them into combat and you fight the combat. But they're still alive,
right? After,
in your next turn, but they're still in combat.
Yeah.
You could remove them.
Okay, I mean that's a lot of fighting potentially. But I think I guess if you get charged, do your two turns of fighting, then you can run away.
So if you get caught up and must retreat, you get charged. Your character's in a unit; he's just got to survive to your turn.
And then if you're a Lannister, you'd be running away, obviously.
Unless, well, you know, you'll see with the Lannister list.
So yeah, only if you're using those mercenary, like the man.
I've taken the Lannisters, so for this future game system, and I am building a Lannister 2,000 point army. 2,000 points is
what's Jim building? Because I don't want to stand on any.
Jim's
toes.
Building everything.
Of course, he. Well, it'll just be one army. They'll be played as everything. No, he can't be the dead and the Bolton.
Janice has taken Dawn. I've taken Lannisters. Jim's like taken everything else. It's like alliances, except for the Army of the Dead. And there's some really cool rules for the Army of the Dead. Yeah. Armies may ally with one another. When this occurs, the general with the highest command value is then in the force's overall general and blah, 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 blah. So scouting, that's in there. Now, if it says if using battles, now that's a War Master medieval thing. A medieval army was essentially formed into three groups, a vanguard, the main force, and the rear guard. And those battles... you can only order in amongst those battles. So you had a commander of the rear guard, commander of the vanguard, and a commander of the main. And it's a good medieval rule basically, because armies would say you want it to be, in the fort, in the vat, you think, because the way the armies would form up, they would always approach the battlefield the same way, apparently, and then they would form up left to right. So your vanguard would be opposite the enemy's rear guard because they would all.
I can imagine that. But also, your general would go with your main force.
Yes, always. Yeah. General always goes main.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Makes sense. All right. Let's go on.
So spin on. So you have now you start to go to the army list. So you've got Crownlands in the Reach, which is the Baratheons, essentially. So you can ID them by when you go to their named characters. So below the thick line is you have all the named characters. You can make this a Targaryen force from pre Battle of the Five, it's a War of the Five Kings, and led by Rhaegar Targaryen, or you could have it as the Army of Usurper, Robert Baratheon, or Stannis, or Renly, or Joffrey. They're all the generals. So that basically themes your force to a set period of time when your army's set. But of course, obviously, you don't have to then try and play a character versus a character who actually did that. It was all in the fluff. But so essentially, this army list has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 themes to it, if you follow.
Okay, so why is one of the Targaryens in here?
Because the Crownlands, it's done by regions, and Rhaegar Targaryen, was obviously the Prince Regent. He was and he had control mostly of the Crownlands. And the Stormlands are where the Baratheons are from.
Okay, I like the fact they've got like Varys or whatever his name was. But there's no Onion Knight in here, is there?
Well, he doesn't really make an appearance to
him. Okay. I loved him. He's one of my favourite characters.
So, with the army list, all the... because Westeros knights are, yeah, obviously medieval knights. So all those army lists have nobles and retinue, the top two entries. So your nobles can either be cavalry or infantry, and they're your special rule one. They're your formed knight.
Holy shit! Hang on a minute. Clegane's got four attacks. Four.
Yeah.
Four.
Well, he's good, isn't he?
Hang on a minute. That's a unit of Saurus.
Yeah, he's good. It's about characters. This game's about characters.
Four attacks. Oh my god! Wow.
So I'm just running through the army list at the top. Your nobles are your knights. Your retinue are shock, so they're still formed as cavalry as we know it in Warmaster, as in on the short edge, but they're not as good as the knights or as good as the nobles naturally. Then your banners are basically your levy troops, who are like the guys who work the fields and are formed up. You've got, so this army's list got crossbowmen, free riders. So they're based as, it's Warmaster Ancients and Medieval, so they're your skirmish cavalry. So they're based long ways. Sellsword, a lot of the armies have sellswords in them, sellsword pikes and crossbows, and that gives them unreliable status unless they're led by a sellsword captain. Scorpions, a lot of the Westeros armies have scorpions. It's basically an artillery piece. And then it has some flavor units as well.
Paul, just checking. Yeah. We are still recording, aren't we? Because I can't see on mine.
Yeah, it's on the top left.
Yeah, it's not on mine, but yeah, cool.
No, we're recording, yeah.
Good.
So, and then in this army list, it has, an unnamed noble as a leader. Because in Warmaster, Ancients and Medieval, there's a general character, there's a leader character, and there's a subordinate character. And that's down to how far they can command. Because there's no wizards, obviously.
So the nobles are the fellas that roll on the table at the first pit.
They're unnamed, basically. Yeah. And then you've got Bren of Tarth, Sandor Clegane, and an unnamed sellsword captain. And also Melisandre and Varys, and they have unique rules as well. Basically, they're upgrades to the army. Yeah, so like Varys, for example, upgrades to the general, but cannot be chosen if the general is Stannis or Renly, because Varys never worked for them. And the army adds 6 to its scouting role, just like that. Yeah, and you get that bonuses for 75 points.
So Melisandre chosen upgrade
to Stannis Baratheon.
She has the power of prophecy, and each turn, Stannis may. So, does she have any spells?
No, there's no wizards. Basically, you've got to look at them as character. Some characters are character upgrades. So, if I want Melisandre, I have to have Stannis Baratheon as my general, because you can have one general.
That's an inexpensive upgrade, isn't it?
Well, see what it does. So, if all retinue have been upgraded to fanatics, so again, so that makes as a buff to them, you have to pay for it. And she has the power of prophecy, and each turn Stannis may reroll a single d6 with one of his command rolls. I mean, that's a pretty good buff, isn't it?
Okay. Well, I'm not sure it's £100 worth of buff. But tell me, how do I upgrade my retinue to Faith Militant?
So it's special to shock. It's in there somewhere. Yeah, Stannis Baratheon. See his rules. Can upgrade all retinue to fanatics at no points cost, but the general cannot include Faith Militant. All nobles become unreliable because they weren't really popular. They didn't like Stannis. And noble leaders deduct one from their roles in the noble attributes table. That means they're more likely to be a bad noble. If the noble then scores 0, they do not turn up on the battlefield and count as a casualty when calculating the end of game points. Fantastic. But fanatics is a buff to retinue. I'm not sure what it does off the top of my head.
Exactly, because I thought they were Faith Militant, but Faith Militant are just a type of fanatic-y troop. Yeah. But
that's right.
Fanatic must mean something else in this game.
Well, it's so Stannis inspired a new religion, didn't he? Essentially, the light of the seven. No,
the religion of burning daughters.
Yeah, I mean, and the people who were actually willing to follow him became a bit fanatical about it. Yeah. Anyway, spin on. So Westerlands of the Reach. So this is the Lannisters, and I've got this is the army I'm building. So the name, you start with the name characters really in this army list. So you've got Tywin or Kevin Lannister as your Lannister generals. You can go Tarly themed, and you go Mace or Randall Tarly. Or you've got the unnamed nobles. Then as your leaders, you've got Jaime Lannister or Tyrion Lannister. Or Loras Tyrell, and obviously he works for Tarly's. Then you've got Gregor Clegane. A +4 attack subordinate character.
He's even bigger. He's more points, isn't he? 120 points. Jeez, look at him go.
Yeah, it. It's like he's going to kill you. You're like, and then Sellsword Captain. So so the Lannisters then, and then they have their nobles, their retinue, their banners, their archers, their free riders, their Sellsword Pikes and Crossbows, the Scorpions. Their unique unit is a Mounting Clansmen unit.
Hang on a minute. Holy moly. Gregor Clegane is basically a dragon on his own.
Mm.
Without the flying.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And
without the breath weapon.
You know, the game system's designed at 10 mil, but you make Gregor Clegane a 15 mil model.
I like it. Okay.
So my army list that I am building, so this is what I'm currently painting at the moment, is Westerlands the Reach. You build to 2,000 points. My army's going to be Tywin Lannister's army, obviously. You know, he's going to have Jaime Lannister, Gregor Clegane, one unnamed noble, and a sellsword captain. Then I've got four noble cavalry, two noble infantry, six retinue, two free riders, four sellsword crossbows, and two scorpions. So I've broken that in then into painting groups of all the sellswords and then all the Lannisters. So I've painted up all the sellswords, and I'll just grab them.
So what miniature range have you gone?
Pendrak. So there they are on screen. That's all the painted up cell swords. Pendraken make like more than enough models to do this. You can go to their medieval ranges and they've got everything you would need. Yeah, the only thing is the scorpions, because they're essentially bolt throwers, are from Pendraken's Roman list, the Roman arm, Roman range. So yeah. There you go.
Okay.
Right. And so what I've chosen there as an army list is essentially a more elite army. I've gone heavily on the expensive stuff. I'm not using archers or banners at all because I don't need to. But that's my theme is obviously Tywin Lannister. He's got all the knights, all the best Lannister knights. And then he's got the sellswords. And it's like,
what points do we play at?
2,000 points.
2,000 points.
Yeah. That's so I could do a completely different army list going for Kevin Lannister as my general. I could do a completely different army list being a Tarly. So I'm not Lannister at all. Yeah, I'm a Tarly. And I've got two versions of the, and then there's two versions of the Tarlys. So yeah, it's cool. It's like, and I'm painting.
All of the rules are just taken from medieval and ancient. Yeah. So yes, you don't need to worry about. We're not going through rule sets.
You would need a copy of War Master Ancients and War Master Medieval to play the game system.
Right.
Yeah.
Or there's PDFs available. You don't have to get Scout.
Yeah. I mean, really, Medieval. You could probably get away with just Medieval.
Probably. Yeah. Right. Okay. Who's next? Riverlands and Vale.
Riverlands and the Vale. So the name characters there are John Arryn. So that'd be.
We never saw him.
Yeah, well, he was exactly. But this you could fight him beforehand. John Royce.
Who's John Royce?
That's a good question. Actually, I'm not actually. I can't remember. Who he
is. The name rings a bell.
Yeah, I mean, Jim likes. Yeah, obviously likes Game of Thrones. He's a big fan of the books. And I was just going to say this game system is based more on the books. Like it's not based on the TV series.
So Edmure Tully is the one that gets captured.
In the TV series, yes, and he's the guy that fails to be able to shoot his dad, in the river in the funeral scene.
Yeah.
He's basically weak. He's weak as. And then you've got Brynden Tully as a leader, and Beric Dondarrion and Peter Baelish are in there.
So Brynden Tully, is he the guy that defends the Riverlands?
He's the Blackfish.
Yeah, he's a badass. He's a badass.
So Brynden Tully, the Blackfish, can only be chosen if the army's general is Edmund Tully, because that's the only way he's going to be there. Check this out. Retinue units will automatically obey the first order given to them each turn by him. Automatically.
Well, you're led by that Edmund.
Yeah, because the Blackfish didn't lead an army.
Well, he did when Edmure was captured, wasn't he?
Well, yeah, only afterwards. Yeah, and that was a siege.
Beric Dondarrion. Yeah, I remember he was the guy. Yeah, he was the guy.
That, he was the guy that kept dying, but kept being brought back. Yeah,
Peter Baelish. Oh.
Yeah, yeah. Baelish is cool. So it can be chosen as an upgrade if the army's general is John Royce. Okay.
So who's John Royce then?
You'd have to look it up. Yeah. Mm. At the start of the game, roll 1d3 to determine how many enemy units become unreliable. Only nobles, refuse, sellswords can be affected by Littlefinger's intrigues, and the units affected selected by Baelish's case. So basically, I've rolled a 6, 3 of your knights are now unreliable. What are you going to do about it? Nothing. 50 points. Like,
chaos is a ladder.
Chaos is a ladder. Yeah, exactly.
That's I've got. Yeah, well, maybe I'll have to play him, the scumbag. Yeah.
And they're all, yeah, loads of themes here. So spin on.
Where's the Starks? Come on, man. That's what the kids
spin
want.
Spin on.
That's what the kids the want. North. The North.
The North.
The North. Who remembers?
King of the North.
Oh, no, the Boltons are here. God damn
so
it.
So you can have Eddard Stark, obviously, before he has his head taken off. Spoiler. Robb Stark and Greywind.
Oh, you get bonus pound. Bonus pound.
Bruce Bolton. What a bastard. You know,
they're all bastards.
Then Ramsay Bolton.
Bastard.
Yeah, and that and yeah, that's the name characters there with that
one. Oh, hang on. Come on.
Go on. Who do you want?
I mean, this is the 21st century. Where's the female characters? Where's your
What did they do in the books, though?
Yeah, well, that's a good point. Season 2. What not a lot.
Do? No, not TV series. They say this is about books.
I mean, I haven't read all the books.
Yeah, I mean, as in,
but does Arya not has a pretty strong arc?
Yeah, but she doesn't. She there's no way that she would influence an army. I mean, you could have Sansa Stark in some form as an upgrade.
Sansa got pretty hardcore towards the
end.
Yeah,
but you say you could have, anyway, that's that's the North. That, if you want to play Starks, you're playing the North. Mm-hmm. Spin on,
yeah, but we're oh, so he's with the black, the black,
he's with the black, yeah. Spin on
the North. It's funny, we didn't get much time to talk about the North.
So
what do we get for Greywind?
Greywind, okay, so a unit they join causes terror, yeah, because Greywind scares the shit out of horses, and unique units there. They get longbows, which are better than crossbows, I think. The scorpions are in every army list to kind of as a balancing thing. And the Crannock men, yeah, they're quite a unique unit.
Where's the dogs?
They don't have a unit. They don't have units of dogs.
Okay, let's move on. Dorne.
So Doran Martell and Oberyn Martell. And so obviously, there's only one theme to Dorn, and that's a Martell army. The House of Martell.
Enough.
Yep. And, they obviously would be, your Arab influenced.
Unless you're going generic, you're taking everything here, aren't you? Everything named virtually.
Yeah, of course. So some army lists are like essentially really got only one build, and that's fine. Dorn's only really got, as in, they're going to load up in all the named characters. Yeah.
I mean, the Oberyn's a bit of a kick-ass, isn't he? He was a dude until he was head the
red,
poked out.
It's the Red Viper,
He hadn't let his hubris, where he wanted to showboat,
such,
didn't he?
Such a good scene. Such a good.
He wanted to showboat and ended up having his. I mean, time he saw that when he's.
It's like yeah.
So good.
Such a shame it ended badly, but yeah, that scene's fantastic.
Yeah, what a scene. Right, and then we got some sand snakes.
You murdered her, you killed her children.
So the artillery looks, has everybody got scorpions? Is that
yeah,
all it
because
is?
That was a balancing thing, to put it in there, because me and Jim and I'm in this group that discusses the game system, and Jim often asks mine and Jana's opinions on things, and it was it's a balancing act basically.
I mean, the alternative was just not to bother with artillery.
Well, yeah, you can't have many of them, so there you go. Iron Islands. They're your Greyjoys. Again, they've only got the one theme, but you could have two different generals, Balon Greyjoy and Euron Greyjoy, with Yara Greyjoy as a named subordinate and Aeron Greyjoy as an upgrade.
Upgrade? Downgrade?
Well, okay.
At this stage? Oh my God.
If chosen as an upgrade to a general, at the start of the game, Aeron invokes the Drowned God. No, he's not. You're thinking of the wrong Greyjoy there. You're thinking of the wrong Greyjoy. So
I'm thinking of the one with the no pecker.
Yeah, that is. Oh Christ. I've forgotten his name.
Lily Allen's. Brother.
But I've actually forgotten.
Alfie Allen or something.
Yeah, I've actually forgotten the character's name. Yeah.
Euron or something.
No, Euron was a badass. Oh Christ.
Gammon. I can't remember his name. It's been a while since I've watched
he's
it now.
He was a fuck up, wasn't he?
Yeah, that's not saying there ain't no upgrade for him.
That's a downgrade. He never led an army as well. So
He rescued Yara.
So obviously you notice with the Iron Islands, there's no cavalry. Yeah, so they've got Ironborn.
That's a pretty big downside.
They've got Ironborn, who are good infantry, but they ain't got no cavalry. Yeah.
It's like playing dwarves without cannons.
Yeah, it's like,
they've got horses.
Horses. So any unit of raiders, archers, or scouts can be upgraded to mounted. So basically, the few cavalry they have are the scouts. There's no knights. You know, no mounted knights.
Yeah, fair dinkum. That makes sense.
Spin on.
How would they have horses? They've got no food. They've got no room.
They'd have nicked them, wouldn't they?
Yeah, but that's it.
They paid the iron price.
That's okay, right. Well, miners and whalers. Nice.
Yep.
Right, and spin then we on. Go on. Wildlings.
So, obviously, this is an army list which is kind of similar to like your Celts or your, like, yeah, as in your big army. Yeah, so you need minimum of 6 free folk. That means you can take 12 units of free folk. At least you only get Mace Rander,
and they look rubbish.
Yeah,
3-3-0.
3-3-0. Yeah, warband, people of the world, which means they no command penalty within woods or broken terrain. Great, but like, yeah, warband is in only good on the attack, which is terrible on the defense. So if they're running away, they've got you know, 2 attacks and no armor if they're running away. You know, it's like they're dead. Mm. You know, like, but on the flip side, you get giants and mammoths. So type elephant, 5 attacks, 4 hits, 5 up armor, 200 points, you know, for 3 stands. And they got Ural 4, which is giants and mammoths.
Wow, yeah.
Units ordered by Mace Rand. Was it Mace Rander? Is that how you said his name? They incur minus 1.
Mace Raider, was it? Mance Raider.
Mance Raider. That was it. Mance Raider. Yo, and yo. Obviously, with the wildlings, you've got a very different army from the medieval armies of the west of the Westerlands.
See, they've got Ygritte upgrade. So yes. Surely they could have found room for some of the Stark girls upgrade. She wasn't really that central.
I mean, if you.
I'll petition the God Lord.
Yeah.
I'll petition him.
It's by no means a finished product, I would say.
Because it wasn't really the Stark girls by themselves, was it? You might get Ghost or something. Yeah, you might get Ghost with the other one, Lady or whatever.
So if you spin on, this is the most.
Imagine you could have all 7 direwolves. And well, then they'd just eat the whole army on their own.
Well, you wouldn't have Lady, would you?
Well, would she still be alive, wouldn't she? Season 2.
Season 2. She's still alive.
Still alive.
Right, so Army of the Dead. So this is really interesting to me.
This is where I'd be.
Yeah, okay. You would play Army of the Dead?
Yeah, because I just raise your shit up and then kill you with it.
This is the point. It's like, so in Game of Thrones, like, they do necromancy really well, because it's like, how do you fight a necromancer? Because it doesn't matter how many of his whites you kill because only he matters, because he can raise them back. So check this out. So you get whites, 3 attacks, 3 hits, 6 up armor, 60 points, but they have the rule a minimum six. You're going to take 12, 1 and 2 fanatics and undead. So units ordered by the Night King, unless ordered by the Night King, they cannot receive more than 2 movement orders per turn. When receiving orders, they are unaffected by dense terrain, and they also can't be confused.
Of course, they can't.
Yeah. So, and then the only other unit entry is giants and mammoths, which is the same profile we went over before.
But they're dead.
And also, you can only have 1 unit. So that means your army is built up of maybe 2 units of giants and mammoth, and the rest are all whites. That's your 2 unit entries.
Right. Well, I mean, we're going to need some flexibility to deal with the cavalry, but we'll see.
So, check out these rules. So you get the Night King, who's the general. Right. Any unit he joins causes terror. Each turn he can give up to 3 movement orders to a single brigade, not Battle of Undead. If the Night King does not issue orders in the command phase, then in the shooting phase, he may, on a 2+, raise dead, see below, and upon up to 4 units that are in base contact with one another. For the rest of the game, those units now are only ordered by the Night King. So you're going to have to a bit of tokening here to remember who raised who.
Units?
Yeah.
Not so stands.
The Night King cannot be targeted for an assassination at the start of the game, which makes sense. Yeah, like Ray's dead. So units affected affected unengaged undead units, you have lost one or two stands as casualties. It does not matter whether the character can see it or not, they regain the lost stands. So not you units. He rebuilds units. Like
Okay, yeah. If they're not destroyed.
So
it's like the demon army, but on steroids, because you can actually bring them back on a two up.
As long as they aren't totally wiped out. You can't create new units, but you can regrow, you know, like quite a bit.
Hang on a minute. So say I'm in a battle, right, and I've taken a thwacking. So I'm in a brigade, and my brigade has lost 8 of its 12 stands.
Yeah, so there's one stand each of each unit. Yeah,
and there's no instability.
No.
And then I roll a two up.
Yep.
And get a two up, and the whole brigade's back.
But to do that, your general can't give any orders.
Apart from the order to make 8 new stands.
Yes, theoretically, yeah.
Well, that's where I'd be going. That's where I'm going as right. The Night King.
So you can also raise White Walkers. So that's your other character.
Ooh.
So you know, you can have up to 6 of them. So any unit they causes terror, they join causes terror. And at the start of battle, every undead unit must be assigned to a White Walker. And throughout the game, may only be ordered by that subordinate or the Night King. Okay, so you basically got White Walker 1 and who's a White Walker 1's units.
That sounds quite convoluted in game.
You'd need some tokens, but
I think it'd have to be color coded. So
yeah, or whatever you like, bases could do it. But it's really interesting because if a White Walker is assassinated at the start of the game, their unit's going to be commander of the Night King. Makes sense. And if the White Walker is killed in combat or leaves the table permanently, all his assigned units are removed from the game.
That sounds a bit... You're never going to get in combat, are you?
So just check it out. So if a White Walker does not issue any orders in the command phase, then in the shooting phase on a roll of a 3+, they can do raise dead on 2 assigned units. All right? So basically, what you have here is there's no point smashing up units of whites unless you can remove them completely. You know, the only way you can defeat the army is to kill the characters.
So it says instead they withdraw. So you can't. I don't even break at half.
No.
Only break if I lose half my characters.
Yes, that's right.
So if I never commit any characters to any combats.
But that's the point. Is that? Unlike other armies, the army dead does not withdraw from the battle when they've lost half their units. Instead, they withdraw from the battle when they lost half their White Walkers. At the end of the command phase, White Walkers must join a unit within 60 centimeters.
Oh, that's painful.
But because you're exactly right, because we debated this a lot. And it's like, if I can only lose by committing characters, as in losing characters, I'll never commit characters. And it was like, well, you're going to have to make it.
But you don't need to be that blunt, because I can make you commit your character.
Mm.
I can run through you. I can kill everything around you and then touch you and then you just die.
Yeah, so exactly.
There are ways to do it. You just have to be clever.
It would be hard, exactly. So fighting this, so with my pseudo medieval army, this will be really interesting game because the army are dead. It's like, how do you represent them? How do you represent them in a game system where it's like, it only matters about the characters. I think it's some fantastic rules writing, personally. So they must join a unit. You don't have a choice about that. Now you can choose which White Walker, which unit you're going to go to, but you've got to choose a unit. And then you're in there, and the enemy can try and come at you.
I mean, there are ways to protect everything. So
yeah.
I mean, you can be in terrain and can't even be seen and stuff. So
yeah, there'll be ways to make it hard. Yes, but it has to.
The army is going to be very one dimensional.
Yeah. That's the point. It's like
So it's
the army of the dead.
So automatically, right? You've got like maybe.
Well, you remember, so, okay, so you
went like with your two giants or mammoths, whatever they're called.
Yeah, yeah.
The Night King and then maybe 4 White Walkers.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So that's all your command and stuff done. Yep. Then you've got basically 1,200 points or thereabouts of whites, which is 20 units.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And that's it.
Yeah.
I mean, they're easy to paint.
Well, yeah, exactly. But if you remember the in the TV series, the battle in the end of it, where they came rolling, the Night King was defeated. That's all his army was just endless hordes of undead. You know, like, really. There wasn't variation in there. It was just a huge amount of undead. That didn't, you know, as long as the
White Walkers... That's interesting, isn't it? They haven't really... Apart from the Walkers themselves, they didn't ride horses, did they?
No.
They all walked.
No, yeah. They all walked. Yeah.
They all walked.
Yeah. Then there's some other interesting things, like Children of the Forest. So they don't cost points. And the opposing army may, doesn't have to, remove one of their units and replace it with Children of the Forest. At the start of it, if any of the opposing armies turns, the children can be placed anywhere in dense terrain, touching impassable terrain, or any table edge. They can act on initiative and begin always in the normal way. So basically, I can choose as your opponent to have a themed unit that's set against you. I don't have to.
Just another bit of balancing.
Bit of balancing. Then it's in to get some more fluff stuff into there. So your three-eyed raven is, army remove one of the leaders and then receive the foresight, etc. of the three-eyed raven. And Benjamin Stark, he's no points as well. The opposing army may move either a leader or subordinate and replace him with Benjamin Stark. Any orders he gives to Night's Watch units, other than the levy, receive a bonus 1 point. So if I was playing Night's Watch, I would have Benjamin Stark.
Yeah,
so. Enough. I think the Army of the Dead is some really good stuff. Right, so spin on. Nightwatch. So, obviously the guys in black, pretty much infantry. In fact, they don't have any cavalry yet. There you go.
Sounds painful.
But they get like the Lord Commander, Eastwatch Commander, John, and the named guys, John Snow and Ghost. And he is one brother or Lord Commander be upgraded to John Snow. So basically, he's an upgrade. And units causes terror. And you get the first Ranger as well. So there's only one named character, which is John Snow and Ghost. And if you're going to play Night's Watch, I suppose you might say your Knight character, your Lord Commander might be. Oh, what was his name? The old
Mormont.
Man. Mormont. Yeah, like Mormont. Yeah. But is it? Yeah. And then you get a different type of army as well there, because you get quite a lot of, decent enough infantry.
And you get artillery.
Yeah. Yes. They're the only army to field a different type of artillery as well. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Interesting. Cool. Interesting.
Oh, okay. See, Garen says any infantry unit except for levy may be mounted to mounted infantry. Yeah. So there's rules in medieval for mounted infantry, and that's what you can do. They're not formed knights, basically.
Yeah. Okay. Well, most knights are long-based anyway, aren't they, in this game?
When they have the rules knights, they're short-based, because they're like El Shock, so they're like good as knights. But the other cavalry are mounted long-based, yeah.
Well, they get minus one to order after the first order and stuff.
Yes.
I think. Yeah, yes. Yeah. Yes. To keep them under control.
Yeah. Spin-on. Essos. So this is basically your Targaryens, because you could have... your generals as Khal Drogo, it's like Dorian Oko, and so basically you can hit in this army. This has got your Unsullied, it's got your and your Dothraki, like riders. So this is
Where's the Mother of Dragons?
I don't think she's actually represented.
Holy moly! How have we got on solid without her?
But she didn't really lead an army, did she? Like, somebody else led it for her.
Didn't lead an army?
Yeah, anyway.
What did the Romans ever do for us?
this is quite, again, you can have some really interesting things. If you're dead set on doing Dothraki, you choose the army from Essos, to do it from. If you want... an army from Essos itself, as in like, which isn't Dothraki, and it's all the other choices.
I mean, on paper, this was the army, wasn't it? Had everything.
Yeah.
Quality, I mean, soldier wise, had everything.
Yeah, exactly. Then you've got like because the army was made up of Unsullied, of Second Sons, Dothraki. Yeah, you had it all going for it.
Yeah, they had the best. Light cavalry, they had heavy cavalry, they had it all.
Yeah,
they've even got elephants. You got bloody Unsullied.
Yeah,
Unsullied are like, oh my god, what are they? 4, 4, 5.
Yeah.
That's awesome, isn't it? Oh my, how many points are those? Holy moly, there must be a lot going on with them.
Unsullied 8 and 9, they get rules Legion and Unsullied. See description, can only be taken when the general is a city guard commander, can't be brigaded with other troop types, are unaffected by terror, always obeys the first order given by the general.
175 points is a whole lot of cheese.
Yeah. They're unsullied. Like,
yeah, but Chaos Warriors 140 points.
Yeah, it's true. It's true.
But I mean, this is a different game system.
They're a different game system.
Yeah. Holy moly.
And then designer's notes. So we can read through this. These lists are strongly influenced by the words of Chris Hudson, who produced War Master Army lists of Song of Ice and Fire in 2011. Many aspects have been taken in different directions, but he laid some vital foundations. The template...
Oh, so hang on. So we're saying that this original design was before even the TV show started.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's why those characters that are so iconic in the TV show probably aren't even featured, because they weren't relevant.
The templates contained with War Master Medieval Armies 2018 were unsurprisingly another important touchstone. So thanks to Ken Southwick, Priestley and Grant Thomas for their work on that population. Of course, the original books and the HBO representation of George R. R. Martin's Battlefield may have had a major impact on the list, but fan discussion and wiki sites provided useful context and suggestions. Also thanks to Tom, Paul and Janice for their critiques. The main creative drivers were a desire to simplify and aggravate wherever possible, but also to create clear regional distinctions. Naturally, this has required some inductive choices based upon terrain, economics, local politics, and medieval military systems. Not every unit that appears in the books or on television has been included, either because their battlefield role was already subsumed with existing troop types on the list, or the list already had an exotic option. The other key decision was to make characters much more central to the game than in other War Master variants, because otherwise, it's what is the difference?
Yeah.
Again, not everybody has been included, but key characters' battlefield capabilities have been reflected or abstracted wherever possible or desired, and in order to make them more employable in combat, a core War Master Ancients rule has been superseded, albeit with a significant penalty for running away from a fight. Also, having proven their worth in recent years, the scouting and the half-base rule have been ported across from War Master Revolution. The chronicle of the period of these armies runs roughly from Robert's Rebellion through to the War of the Five Kings. It does not include the latter period in which dragons make their return to the Wars of Westeros. However, it is also decided that include the Army of the Undead. Rather than adding extra rules, their opponents are assumed to be using obsidian and fire weapons wherever possible. Partly with an eye to the forthcoming prequel television series, dragons have been included for the narrative.
Ooh, where are they?
Generally, restrictions on characters and unit choices have been created in order to offer multiple options within the timescale for each region. Unit profiles and points costs have been adapted primarily from War Master Medieval, but the surcharges of Apex capabilities and specialist characteristics. The following framework was used in most common Westerosi treatments. So your nobles are basically your highborn lords and knights of the realm, and it continues, etc.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm just going to quickly... That's what you're looking for. So... I just need to minimize this picture.
You can't do anything. I'm in control.
Okay. If you minimize that, I'm just going to go to my files. And here it is. He did have them somewhere.
Cracking television, this. What are you doing?
Oh, no, I haven't. Oh, maybe I don't have it. Like, I think they were in version 4. Yeah, out of the dragons. Yeah.
Oh, I see. I don't even know what they are. I was looking forward to the dragons.
So the dragons.
Tell us about the dragons, Dad.
So the dragons were literally can't be used in tournament play, and they are by far the biggest monsters of profile. They're like two giants put together.
Yeah, it makes Stegodons look like postage stamps.
As in, they could only be used for narrative play, and they were like fucking killers. You had two versions. You had two types. You had a smaller dragon and a bigger dragon.
Big dragon, please.
And the bigger dragon was just like an army in itself, basically.
I mean, the only person that killed them was the Night King, with his javelin of doom,
And some scorpions.
And pissed up fella Euron. His bouncy boat with the shot of the century. The only shot better than that was Luke Skywalker when he bullseyed that womp rat.
In his T-16 at home. So it's really cool, because it's like, it's essentially Jim's created an entire game system by itself. If you love the fluff.
How many points is the dragon? How many points?
Oh no, it's like, I think... I don't even remember if it had points. It literally was for narrative.
Don't bother with points.
Yeah.
I've got no concept, but I would be looking at some, judging on how good that dragon was. You'd have to, the breath weapon would have to be like 10 attacks.
or something like that.
It would have to be absolutely fucking crazy. The thing would have to have like 40 wounds.
Yes, to say, like, basically, Jim designed some dragon profiles where you just can't possibly make a game system out of, like, okay, you've got your army and I've got this dragon.
But yeah, did, like, you see what the dragon did?
Yeah, exactly.
In the program. It's like, what have I got?
If
you watch the Battle of the Hobbit with the Smaug.
Yeah.
It's like, well, we don't have anything that can fire at this.
Yeah, exactly. It's cool. It's when we can get back to playing games, which is soon. Obviously, me, Jim and Janice are going to set a Warmaster Westeros, like, date in the diary to play. That'll be good, because then Jim can do a version of the rules as well with some finished armies, pitches, etc., etc. Yeah.
One funny sub note is that apparently there's some massive shortage of outdoor garden furniture.
Of course, yeah. Because there would be, wouldn't there?
Because it's like, what else are you going to do?
Yoink. Yeah. Click and buy it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's like, but hopefully, I mean, let's pray for a nice spring and summer. We can actually do some stuff outside.
Well, yeah. I mean,
because. The outside stuff looks like it's fair game, but there's I'm still not 100% convinced they're going to allow us to do much too indoors. But hopefully they will.
There's a date set for when that
those dates don't mean dick.
Yeah, yeah. I'll just quickly mention the London GT is
you mentioned up it last to... time. Yes.
No. But like players, like
all right.
So. Currently on my little WhatsApp group for people here, there is 22 players paid.
22 players. So that is, you're already on 5 rounds, aren't you?
Yes, yeah. It's already bridged the 5 round group. The cap was 32.
Yeah, that's players. 6 rounds.
Yeah. So, it's going strong.
No, hang on, 25. I think you might have already been on 6 rounds, aren't you?
No. So, 32 players means then there's 60. So 16, 8, 4, 2.
Okay, so, well, it's only ever going to be 5 rounds then.
Yeah, so, the event is 5 rounds.
Right.
And it would cap at 32 players.
Okay,
because
cool.
32 players plays 5 rounds, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, you don't have to cap it. You've got room for a 6th.
I mean...
You absolutely do.
Yeah.
Room for a 6th. Don't turn them away.
No. I mean, God, no. Like, I mean, you know, I said to Zach that, okay, let's, give me some space to run some event. I mean, there's not short on a space. It's just what we might start running short on is scenery, maybe.
Just some 2D stuff.
If you have to. It's there's going to be a lot of people there. Yeah. A lot of people, you know, will be playing.
That'd be nice.
Yeah, and I know there's some others who haven't bought tickets yet. So, yeah, it's great. It's going to be way more players than the last LGT. Yeah, more players.
I think there's maybe a slight amount of pent up demand. I'm guessing.
Oh yeah, massive. I mean, but also Barry, you've got the 3D printing crowd. So some of these players are new to the system with 3D printed armies.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's cool. That's cool. And the KR multi case has just recently come through and said they're going to let us have 3 cases. So there you go.
Good for KR. Right. So next episode is we're talking about the changes that have been approved that are in development for the next year.
Yeah.
But that's not today.
So, there it are. So they are developmental for a year. And then we, as part, so basically in 2022, the committee has a lot to vote on, doesn't it? It votes on whether those developmental rules go, like, approved.
Permanent. Yeah.
And more ones to go developmental.
Yeah, I love admin. It's my middle name.
It's a lot. Because there's a lot of changes. There's nothing dramatic, but there is a lot of changes. Yeah.
I think it's about 25 or something.
Yeah. I mean, that's 25. Like that. I mean, some of them are literally name changes, but they are changes.
Some of them are literally just name changes.
No, I'm saying, but like, as I say, like, so that's just literally an aesthetic. But there's some cool ones in there, definitely. Yeah. It's cool. I mean, certainly going forward, every game of Warmaster I play is going to be testing something, you know, with a developmental rule in some way, as in terms of like, oh, it's in, you know, like, right, I'm playing the army list.
There's nothing really in through the developmental stage that I expect to have any problems with. The only stuff that's even remotely controversial belongs in the cafe and nip on, and they're on a longer term, on a back burner. They won't even be voted on next year. It'll be the year after.
So they're slow burn. Because they need a lot of games, like a lot of people's.
And they're still being changed as we go along.
Exactly. So. Yeah.
But I mean, as long as for at least every one step backwards we go two forwards, then I'll be happy.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we don't want to go too much into next episode's topic, but yeah, that's been fantastic. Because certainly, if I was a punter, I would want to see that this system has some development, and now it's road mapped out. Every year we're doing this. It's nice, and now it's out there in Facebook. It's like, there it is, and it's on the website. This is how we've evolved the game in 2021. Contribute.
Yeah. So the ways to get involved would be to Facebook, but I can't claim to be overly active on there.
No.
You can send it via the podcast if you want to talk about it next episode.
Even if it's simply like, I played a game using this developmental rule, like, and this is what I thought of it. Yeah.
And or alternatively, the final way to do it would be to get on the experimental forum where you can feed into. I mean, it's not necessarily about these developmental rules, but you could talk about anything.
So the experimental forum is just an open forum for any non-membership, anybody to chat about War Master. Yeah.
Or suggest anything.
Literally anything. And if that's the way to get your, if you want to bring a change in, you put it up there. One of us committee members sees it and suggests and runs with it, you know.
But please get in touch if you've got feedback. So in like a week or two's time, we're going to be doing an episode based just on those changes and the feedback to those changes. Good. And enjoy Monday, Paul.
Yes, I will.
Whatever you get to do, I'm going to try and do something.
I don't know if I'm doing anything different. But yeah, but it's nice to see the world unlock a bit.
A little bit.
A little bit.
Right. Okay. Thanks a lot, everybody. See you in a week or two.
See you in a week too. Bye.